there. This is Lon Solomon, and I'm so glad that you listened in today to our teaching of the Word of God. You know, the Bible means what it says, and it says what it means. That's how we understand it. That's how we teach it. And never in the history of the world has that been more needed than it is today. So thank you for praying for us. Thank you for your financial help so that we can stay on the air and keep doing that. And just before we get to the Bible now, let me invite you to be part of my 58th tour of the Holy Land in October 2023. We'd love to have you join us. All the information's on our website, LonSolomonMinistries.com. And now, let's get to the Bible. You know, in Jeremiah chapter 7, God said to Jeremiah, on the day when I brought your fathers out of Egypt, meaning at the Exodus, I did not command them regarding burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now, it's true that a lot of the Old Testament does deal with burnt offerings and sacrifices, but those instructions were not given to the Israelites for almost a year after they came out of Egypt, after they were camped at Mount Sinai. God goes on to say, but this is what I commanded them when they came out of Egypt, obey me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. We're in a series entitled From My Heart to Yours, and God has really been dealing with me lately on this issue of obedience to God. And so I thought this would be a wonderful opportunity for me to share a little bit with you about what God's been teaching me about obeying God. All right, here we go. Let's begin by defining the word obedience. Obedience, the dictionary says, means to follow the orders of someone in authority over you, to do what you are told. And as followers of Christ, we must understand that when it comes to God, obedience is a pivotal issue. Jesus said, John chapter 14, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Jesus said, John chapter 13, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Psalm 111, a good understanding have all they who do God's commandments. I love the verse where Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and yet you do not do what I tell you to do? And we could go on, but I think the point's made. Friends, the point is that as followers of Christ, above all else, God wants our obedience. Now, Jesus even spoke about this very issue when he was here on earth in Matthew chapter 21. He said to a bunch of unbelieving rabbis who were standing around, he said, but what do you think, fellas? A man had two sons, and he came to the first son and said, son, go and work today in my vineyard. And the first son said, I will not. But afterwards, he repented. He changed his mind, and he went. And the father came to the second son and said, likewise, go out in the field and work for me today. And the second son said, I will go, sir, but he did not go. Then Jesus turned to these rabbis and said, now which of the two sons do you think obeyed the wishes of their father? And they replied, the first son. Now for once, the rabbis finally got something right. They're right. It was the first son, the one who may have said no at the beginning, but then he repented and actually went. Now watch what Jesus said. And Jesus said to the rabbis, truly, I say to you that the tax collectors and prostitutes will go into the kingdom of God instead of you. Now why in the world would he say that? Well, he's going to tell you. Because, he said, For John the Baptist came to show you the way of righteousness, namely by faith in me as the Messiah. But you rabbis, you did not believe him. And even after the prostitutes and the tax collectors did believe him, still you did not repent. You did not change your mind like the first son in the story and obey and believe in me. Now, let's identify the players in Jesus' story. Can we do that? All right. The Father, who do you think that is? That's God, exactly right. The first son, who do you think that is? Well, that's the tax collectors and the prostitutes. I mean, like the first son, they didn't start off obeying God. But when John the Baptist came preaching Christ, they believed in Jesus, they repented of their sins, and they began obeying God. And then, who do you think the second son is? Well, it's all these rabbis. They're just like son number two in that every day they walked around in their fancy robes and all their religious accoutrements and paraphernalia, giving God lip service. But then as soon as the Messiah actually shows up, they refuse to obey and believe in him. And even after John the Baptist announced Jesus as the Messiah, even after the rabbis saw all the miracles that Jesus did, after all of this, the rabbis still would not repent and believe. And this is why Jesus said, Mark chapter 7, he said to the rabbis, "Rightly did Isaiah prophesy about you, you hypocrites, just as it is written in Isaiah 29, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Now, how did Jesus know that their heart was far from him? Friends, our obedience to God reveals where our heart for God really is. And this is why, above everything else, as followers of Christ, God cherishes our obedience. Now, what kind of obedience does God want from you and me as his followers? Well, there are three kinds that the Bible talks about, and I want to tell you what they are, and then we're done. Number one, God wants radical obedience. Sometimes, as a follower of Christ, God asks you and me to obey him in ways that seem crazy to people around us. I mean, like telling Noah to build an ark that took him 100 years to build when it had never even rained on the earth before. And just like when God told Abraham that I want you to leave home even though you don't know where you're going. And what about our friend Moses at the burning bush, where God commands him to go back and face down the most powerful ruler on the face of the earth, Pharaoh Amenhotep II. But you know what? Noah did it. Abraham did it. Moses did it. Why? Because they were willing to obey God radically. You say, well, but normal people like us don't get asked to do radical stuff like this, like build an ark. Oh, yeah, we do. God asks us to return good for evil when people are treating us horribly. That's radical. People around us think you're crazy when you do something like that. God asks us to do radical things like forgive people who have done the meanest, nastiest, most awful stuff to us. Radical. Sometimes God asks us to speak well about people who are slandering us every opportunity they get. And yet we are willing to say nothing but good things about them. Radical. And when we give generously to the work of the Lord, and friends that we tell about say, "You are just giving away all that money?" Radical. And how about standing up for the truth of the Bible in our families, with our friends, in our workplaces,
endangering our friendships. And people go, shh, no, no, don't do that. And we go, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that. Radical. Jesus asks us to do radical things all the time. And what he's looking for, as hard as it may be, obedience to God means we do it. Number two, God not only wants radical obedience from us, but friends, he also wants full obedience from us. He said to Joshua, God did, be careful to do according to, what's the next word? All. To do all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left. Listen, we said earlier, obedience means to do what we're told. Full obedience means to do what we're told precisely how God tells us to do it. And listen here, friends, as far as God is concerned, partial obedience is the same as disobedience. If you're not going to obey God 100% in what he's asking you to do, then let me give you a piece of advice. Don't even bother. Because partial obedience, you might as well have done nothing as far as he's concerned. You know, I think of the great king of Judah named Josiah. Josiah lived between 640 and 621 B.C., and he was one of the last kings of Judah before Nebuchadnezzar conquered Judah, tore down the temple in 586 B.C. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 12, God told the Israelites, when they were going into the promised land, he said, destroy completely all the places where the nations you are displacing worship their idols, their gods. Break down their altars, smashed their sacred pillars, burn their Asherah poles. Asherah was one of their female goddesses in Canaan. Cut down their idols and obliterate them. Now, let's go down the corridors of time, 750 years, and we pick up with Josiah. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king over Judah. And while he was still a young man, he began to seek the God of his father David. And under his direction, they tore down the altars of Baal. They smashed the Asherah poles, the idols, and the images. He, Josiah, made dust of them and scattered the dust all over the graves of those who had sacrificed to these idols. But he didn't stop there. He also unearthed the priests of these idols and burned their bones on their idolatrous altars. But he didn't stop there. And in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and afar away as Naphtali, these are north of his kingdom. They're not even part of his kingdom. They were actually part of the Babylonian kingdom at that point, but Jewish people still live there. And so he went all the way up there doing this. He broke down the altars, and he beat the Asherah poles and images into powder, and he cut to pieces all the incense altars throughout all of Israel, and then he returned to Jerusalem. Do you see, my friends, that he, the king, went along and directed all of this activity personally? Why? Because he wanted to make sure it was done precisely the way the Lord commanded. Do you see that? Amen. Hey, this is what we call full obedience. And this is the kind of obedience God wants from you and me. The problem is, we always want to negotiate with God. God said, I want you to do this. And we go, really? But Lord, could I only do half of it? Could I get away with that? Would you be happy enough with me if I just did 40% of it, Lord? How many of you have done that? But the only kind of obedience God's interested is the kind when we say, okay, if that's what you want, and that's how you want it done, that's what I'll do. That's the obedience God's looking for, folks. Finally, number three, God not only wants radical obedience, and he not only wants full obedience, God wants by faith obedience. We've already mentioned Abraham, Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said to Abraham, leave your country and leave your relatives and leave your father's household and go to the land that I will show you. And I'm sure Abraham had some questions for God. I'm sure he said, well, God, where am I going? And God said, well, I'll tell you that later. You take this deal? Look at verse 4, Genesis 12. Gosh, I love this verse. So Abraham went forth just as the Lord had told him to do. Praise God for that, huh? And Hebrews chapter 11 even comments on this. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed and went forth, not even knowing where he was going. See, we say to God, God, you show me and I'll do it. And God says, no, I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way. You do what I tell you, and then I'll show you. And did God take care of Abraham? You bet you he did. And yet, he refused to tell Abraham what he had in mind until Abraham first obeyed and stepped out in faith. And then God came behind him and said, all right, now let me show you what I got for you, Abraham. Folks, God calls us sometimes to obey like this. He calls us to leave a job where we're not exactly sure if the next job's going to be as good. He calls us to do all kinds of things by faith, to move to a place where we don't know anybody. And we say, but Lord, I don't know anybody there. Lord, here I got friends here. I got people here. I know the restaurant's here. No. God didn't do that, folks. This is by faith obedience. So, may I summarize? What kind of obedience does God want from us? Number one, he wants obedience that is radical. Number two, he wants obedience that is full. And number three, he wants obedience that is by faith. We got it? All right. Now, it's time for us to ask our most important question at this point. And y'all ready? Here we go. Ready? One, two, three. Now, you were ready. All right. You say, all right, Lon, so what's the point here? Well, what is it you're really trying to say to me today? Friend, what I'm trying to say to you today and what I'm trying to say to me today is very simple. I'm trying to say to us that we need to make this kind of obedience to God the target for our life every day. This is where we need to set the bar every day. And even if we can't live up to the bar every day, it doesn't matter. We don't lower the bar. The bar stays where it is. Radical obedience, full obedience, by faith obedience. This is our goal every day in our walk with Christ. You know, when I came to Christ back in 1971, I was at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill. And the man that led me to Christ, as many of you know, was a street preacher named Bob Eckhart. Bob Eckhart said something to me I've never forgotten. He said, Lon, you cannot have a vibrant, powerful walk with God without striving to give God full, complete, and total obedience. And you know, that's what I wanted. I wanted a vibrant walk with God. I wanted a powerful walk with God. Now, if you don't want a powerful walk with God and you don't care about having a vibrant walk with God, then really, this is a good moment for you just to check out of the message if you want, because the rest of this is for people who want that. And I wanted that. And so Bob Eckhart came to me not long after that and said, you know, I've really been praying about it, Lon. I want you to pray about something. He said, you need to get out of Chapel Hill. I said, why would I do that? I said, I've been here 5 years. And I said, but Bob, all my friends are here. All my buddies are here. He said, that's the whole problem, Lon. All your fraternity buddies are here that you gamble with all night, that you drink with all night. All your old girlfriends are here. All your old partying friends are here. And these people are going to drag you down. You need to get out of this town. And I prayed about it, and the Lord said to me, you know, Bob's right. So I sold everything I had, bought a knapsack and a sleeping bag, and put an extra pair of jeans in there. And I had a dog at the time named Noah, big 90-pound German Shepherd. So I put his bowl in there, and I put some food for him in there. And you say, Lon, where were you going? I don't know. My family didn't want me. I don't know where I was going. You say, well, it's kind of a radical thing to do. Did you know anybody else anywhere where you were going? No, didn't know anybody. You say, well, couldn't you kind of done it halfway? I mean, couldn't you leave Chapel Hill for a month, go read the Bible, grow in the Lord, come back for a month? It was all or nothing. Radical obedience, full obedience, by faith obedience. And me and Noah and Jesus set out from Chapel Hill, North Carolina in the spring of 1971. Like Abraham, not having the slightest clue where I was going. And you know what else? I had $5 in my pocket. Total. That was my life savings. $5. And we traveled. We hitchhiked around the country for 6 months before I finally landed here in Washington, D.C., where I've been for 45 years now. And you know what? In all that time, traveling for 6 months around the country, I never missed one meal. God took care of me in the most amazing ways you ever saw in your life. And it was one of the best decisions I ever made to get out of that town, because Bob Eckhart was right. I would never have amounted to anything for the Lord if I had stayed in that town. Look, folks, I'm here to challenge you. When God asks you to do something radical, do it. And do it fully, and do it by faith, and you will never, ever regret it. Some of you are arguing with God right this minute as you walked in here today about things he's been asking you to do, and you've been pushing back and arguing and fighting with him and negotiating with him. Folks, just run up the white flag, say uncle, and do what he wants. You'll be glad you did. He'll never let you down, and he will honor your life for giving him the kind of obedience that he wants. Let's pray together. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'd like to give you just a moment to talk to the Lord. If you've been doing that kind of negotiating, for goodness sake, say uncle. And even if you haven't right now, reaffirm or make for the very first time a commitment to the Lord that, Lord, I'm raising the target in my life. I'm not going to give you safe obedience anymore, and I'm not going to give you halfway obedience anymore, and I'm not going to give you by sight obedience anymore. I'm going to give you the kind of obedience Abraham gave you, Josiah gave you, Noah gave you, give you the kind of obedience Moses gave you. So you take a moment and talk to God. Oh God, use your word to speak to us today. Dear Jesus, remind us that as followers of Christ, our job is not to take the Bible and try to conform it to our lifestyle. Our job is to take our lifestyle and conform it to the Bible. And this is one of those areas, Lord, where we all need to make that decision. Father, help us to want a vibrant walk with God. Help us to want a powerful walk with God. And then help us, Lord, to understand and be willing to pay the price. Radical, full, by faith, obedience. Change our lives because we were here today, Lord. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. And what did God's people say? Amen.
You've been listening to So What with Dr. Lon Solomon. So What is an outreach of Lon Solomon Ministries. To listen to today's message or for more information, visit our website, lonsolomonministries.org. Thank you for your support. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website or call us at 866-788-7770. We hope you will join us next time when Lon seeks to answer one of life's most important questions, So What?